Of course, this week is Parshas Acharei Mos. We're learning the Ravina Bachai in Parshas Acharei Mos. And there's a little bit of a funny disconnect, because of course the beginning of Parshas Acharei Mos is all about Yom HaKippurim. And here it is. There's certainly a Yom Tov on everybody's mind, but Yom Kippur doesn't happen to be it right about now. And yet the Kedusha of Yom Kippur and the Kedusha of Pesach in many ways are very similar to one another. So perhaps there's some significance in the fact that we're laning about Yom Kippur even as we're preparing about Pesach. I want to share a Rabbeinu Bechaye. It's Perek Tezayin Pasuk Dalet. Rabbeinu Bechaye in his comments on the Parshas HaShavua, where I guess we could call this Rabbeinu Bechaye the special quality of linen. Right? Why is linen so good? The pasuk says, with regard to the Kohen Gadol, who would go lifnai v'lifnim, he would go into the Kodesh HaKodashim on Yom Kippur, do all the avodah of Yom HaKippurim. Ksones vad kodesh yilbash, u'michnese vad yiu al besaro, u'va'avneid bad yachgar, v'mitznefes bad yitznof. The Kohen Gadol, when he did the avodah of Yom Kippur, instead of wearing his customary 8 begadim, his customary 8 garments, only wore 4 garments. And all of these garments, the shirt, the pants, the belt, and the hat, they were all composed of bad. They were all made up of linen. And the pasuk repeats the term bad 4 times in describing each of the begadim of the Kohen Gadol. So, commenting on that, the Rabbeinu Bechaye writes, again, it's Perek Tesayin Pasuk Dalet, Hizker arba begadim shem shel bad, v'hizker b'chol echad mehen bad. Not only does it mention 4 linen garments, but it mentions the word bad, linen, over again by each of them. Uvataras kohanim amru, bad lahotzias achoshen, bad lahotzias ha'efod, bad lahotzias ha'me'il, bad lahotzias ha'tzitz. That the repetition 4 times of the word bad is to tell us specifically that the other 4 garments that the Kohen Gadol would normally wear, the choshen, efod, me'il, and tzitz, are davka not worn when the avodas Yom HaKippurim is done. You know that, and why are those excluded? Because hatam lefi shabig de kain gadol hain shmona arba mehen bad. The 4 begadim of the kain gadol which she wore on Yom Kippur were linen. Uvarba mehen yesh behem zav. But the 4 which we mentioned, the 4 which were not utilized during the avodah of Yom Kippur, the chosh and the ephod, the me'il and the tzitz, all contain some degree of gold. V'lo hoyo rashai likonis lifnai v'lifnim b'vig deizav fish ein kategor nasa sanegor. Right, and it was not proper for the Kohen Gadol to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim on Yom Kippur wearing anything of gold, because after all, the gold had been involved in the making of the golden calf, and ein kategor nasa sanegor, that which serves as a prosecution, can never serve as a defendant. If he wants to try to defend the Jewish people, he can't do so wearing begadim, which so obviously called to mind one of the great sins of the Jewish people. So, having said that, the Rabbeinu Bechaye comments a little bit on the significance of these 4 garments in particular, and the significance of linen with regard to these 4 garments. The Omar big day kodesh heim. That's interesting. When the pasuk presents the 4 garments that the Kohen Gadol wears as part of the avodah of Yom Kippur, it says big day kodesh heim. They are holy garments. V'rochatz b'mayim es besaro levesham, and he washes his body in water. In other words, he toivels and then he puts them on. What is added by the words big day kodesh heim? They are holy garments. I mean, we know by definition that any garments which the Kohen Gadol is going to be wearing are holy garments. So what is added by telling us that big day kodesh heim? So Rabbi Rabbeinu Bechaye lelamed ki Kohen Gadol hamishoris lifnai v'lifnim beveis hamikdash shomato dugma l'sheirus hanaso beveis hamikdash shomaylo. Just as the Kohen Gadol is going in and serving in the Beis HaMikdash down here on earth, there is a parallel notion of a Beis HaMikdash up in the heavens. We spoke about this notion back at the end of Sefer Shmos, when he talks about in Terumah Tetzaveh the notion of the Mishkan Shomala, the Mishkan of heaven. So there's a Beis HaMikdash Shomala, a heavenly Beis HaMikdash, and there's Avoda going on over there. Umashahu Mishore Shombi Arba Bigodum Dumas Arba Machnos Shchina Shmishorsum Lefon of Bamorum.
And the notion that the Kohen Gadol is wearing four different types of clothing specifically, is not simply because he can't wear the other four because of the zahav, because of the gold which they contain. That's one reason. But a second reason is that if one looks at the descriptions of the various different malachim that praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu up in the heavens, right, we talk about a little bit of that during the Kedusha, right, whether the Kedusha of Shemoneh Esrei or the Kedusha of Birkas Yotzer, the bracha that precedes Kriya Shema, there are four different types of malachim that praise the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the four begodim correspond to those four types of malachim. O, dugmas chayos hakodesh ba'arba knafayim ve'arba aponim. Or another area in which we find the notion of four reflected in the service of the Ribbono Shel Olam up in the heavens is that the Chayos HaKodesh, the holy Chayos, whatever they are exactly, but they're described as having four wings and four faces to each one of them. Again, this is based on the Psukim in the beginning of Yechezkel that describes the Maisa HaMarkava. So again, there's some, whatever it means exactly, there's some notion of four. The number four is significant in the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is praised up in the heavens. So when the Kohen Gadol puts on four begadim and goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or does the Avodah of Yom Kippur, down here on earth, he's signifying by the four begadim that what he's doing here on earth is actually being reflected up in the heavens, you know, up in the Beis HaMikdash Shomala.
Is there any shaykhis with the number four, like now Pesach?
You want to slip in Pesach as well. So we got, it's a very fascinating idea, right? We said at the outset that here we are, it's almost Pesach, we're learning about Yom Kippur. So Willie wants to suggest that we know that the number four plays a tremendous role in Pesach for Bonim, for Kosos, right, four questions, right? You know, it's a lot of fours running around the Seder and Pesach and the like. Maybe the fact that Chazal brought in that number four so many times is also supposed to remind us that, you know, that there are four elements to the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being praised up in the heavens, which means, again, if you want to take this and you want to take this ball and run with it, it means that at the Seder, in some way, we're mimicking what we imagine is happening up in the heavens. Right, right. So in other words, that, you know, it ties the Seder to the Avodah Shomala as much as the Avodah of Yom Kippur is being tied to the Avodah Shomala. Based on all of that, you know, the fact that up there in heaven there are four different components of the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why it says Big Dekodesh Hem. The Begadim of the Kohen Gadol are holy. Again, we know that they're holy. Well, what does the Pasuk have to tell us? HaKosav Roi Lomar Big Begadim Kedoshim Hem. The truth is, if you really want to say holy clothes, right? It's really begadim kedoshim. In other words, the noun and the adjective. Big day kodesh actually is a nismach, which means it's a possessive, and it means the clothing of holiness. So what do you mean the clothing of holiness? Holy clothing, right? It's a sacred clothing, sacred vestments, whatever you want to call it exactly. Big day kodesh means the vestments, the clothing of holiness. So what does that mean?
That be when you say, like in English, the clothes make the man.
Well, he says, "Avol Amar Big Day Kodesh Levoy Shehem Dugma Lehem Chuvan Kneged Kodesh." Kodesh means a place, right? Now that's his chiddush over here. Kodesh doesn't mean, Kodesh is not an adjective, holy or sacred. Kodesh means a place. Now, how can Kodesh mean a place? Well, in the Mishkan of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh means a place. The Kodesh Kodashim is a place. The Kodesh is the chamber immediately outside of the Kodesh Kodashim. So Big Day Kodesh Heim, if we just take it one step further, we say Kodesh means the heavens. So Big Day Kodesh Heim, these are the begadim of the heavens, of the sacred place. These are the begadim that correspond to that sacred place up in Shamayim. So, you know, the whole avoda of Yom Kippur that the Kohen Gadol is doing is a conscious attempt to mimic what's going on up in Shamayim. This appears in a medrash as well. Kesherus Shomalo, Kachsherus Shomato. Just as God is being served up in the heavens, so too God is being served down below. The manner in which the Kohen Gadol serves the Ribbono Shel Olam down here on earth is meant in some way to parallel what's happening up above, what's the basis for that? So says the Medrash, we find a pasuk in Yechezkel that says, Ish echad besocham lavush badim. When it describes the malachim serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it describes a man amidst them who is wearing linen clothing. Who's this man wearing linen clothing? So the Rabbi Bechai goes on to identify him as the Malach Michael. Rabbi Shavel points out in his notes that when the Gemara quotes this pasuk, it identifies the man as the Malach Gavriel. But I don't know that it really matters for our purposes. In other words, the pasuk in Yechezkel describes a Malach serving the Ribbono Shel Olam up in heaven, and that Malach is described as Lavush Badim, as wearing linen clothing. Note, there is no golden clothing that Malach is wearing. Again, whatever it means for Malach to wear linen clothing, golden clothing, whatever it is, but the Malach is wearing linen clothing. So the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, when he's wearing the linen clothing, the Big Day Bad, is really imitating exactly what is happening up in Shamayim with the Malach. Again, Michael Gavriel doesn't really matter for our purposes, but the Malach serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, Lavush Badim, wearing linen clothing. Right, so all of this, you know, En Kategor Nasa Sanegor is one level of why he's sticking to linen clothing. But says the Rabbeinu Bechai, there's a second level of why he's sticking to linen clothing to try to imitate that which is going on in the Beis Hamikdash Shomalo. That's part one of this Rabbeinu Bechai, and it's fascinating enough in its own right. But there's a part two to the Rabbeinu Bechai, and this Lanias Daiti is really quite fascinating. He says, for those who have the Shavel edition, this is the top of page Tov Tzadi Zayin. V'im taskil b'loshen bad. If you think about the very word bad itself, which is used, again, that's the Torah's word over here at least, for linen. If you think about the very word bad, timso'enu kolel kamo kavanos muflos, you'll see that the word bad itself contains within it numerous deep intentions. You know, the word bad hints at various very, very sublime ideas. Kirmoz alachna v'ashiflus. First of all, the word bad hints at the idea of being submissive, of being contrite. Kirmoz al hayichud. It hints at the idea of oneness, of uniqueness. Uvegavon shelo al mechila. The white linen, right, it hints at the idea of mechila, of atonement. Umisparo al hakav ha'emtsoi, and the number associated with bad, which we'll see he's going to talk about in a moment. Bad has a number. The number associated with bad hints to the kav ha'emtsoi, to the middle path. Now he's going to go and explain all of this. Yirmoz al achna'a. First of all, bad hints at the idea of submissiveness, contrition, lowliness, humility. Sharei habad semach ola min ha'ofar lehikona ha'oved shu ofar min ho'adoma. Linen grows from flax. Flax ultimately is something that grows out of the ground. So when a person takes the garments that are made from something that grows from the ground, that accentuates his own humility. He thinks about how he himself is dust from the earth. He himself comes from the ground. So, you know, wearing the linen garments connects him to the ground and to that sense of humility which the ground evokes. In contrast, Masha'en king b'tzemer. Why doesn't the Kohen Gadol wear wool? Why is he wearing linen? Again, the other garments do contain wool, right? The choshen, the ephod, and the me'il. The choshen, the ephod, and the avnet, not on Yom Kippur, all contain wool, right? Those begadim famously were shatnas, and it's the Kohen Gadol had certain begadim which were shatnas. But these four begadim that he's wearing now are all linen. Why not wool? Wool is a more standard material for making clothing. So he says, no, there's a conscious attempt to avoid wool. Shu'ola mibali chayim, right? Wool comes from living creatures. It doesn't come directly from the ground. And as such, it doesn't carry that connotation of humility, of feeling your earthly roots in the same way that linen does. V'chein amru b'maseches Yuma, ki davar ha'ola min hakarka bad bevad, v'zeh loshen badim v'anofim. Yirmoz al ha'yichud, Shekein Lashon Bad Yechidi. The idea of bad, of linen, also hints to the idea of uniqueness, of singularity, because the very word bad implies something by itself. He says, it's an interesting thing. You have a thread of wool, the thread splits apart very easily. You know, you have those threads that are coming out at the end of a woolen sweater, you know, or for that matter, I mean, you know, lahavdil, but tzitzis, you know, the tzitzis get a little bit old, they start fraying at the edges, and, you know, woolen thread starts unraveling. Not so linen thread, which is singular. It doesn't come undone, it doesn't come unraveled, there's a singularity. V'zeu sh'omer bad bevad kolomer yechidi sheno nechlak, v'im kein hara yeshbo simen v'remez li'ichud. Right, so the very substance of linen itself hints at the idea of singularity. Now, what is the ultimate singularity that we're interested in thinking about? The singularity of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Yechidus, the Yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, so again, in a very striking kind of way, linen hints at the idea of Achdus Hashem in a way in which, you know, woolen garments wouldn't, he says. So too we know that that the linen is white. The gavon haloven hu simen hamechila, and of course white, the color white is the sign of mechila, is the sign of atonement. Wool is also white. So I guess he's saying before you clean it off. In other words, the wool before you clean it off is off white, dirty white. You know, it's certainly not a snowy, pure kind of white, whereas the linen is.
Well, a crew is like
flown fish. Right. Yeah. What's that?
A crew, you see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a form of beige, but very, very light.
A light beige, yeah. What's that?
Black,
yeah, black sheep, right, yeah, yeah. Right.
Only after you bleach it.
What's that?
Only after you bleach it.
Only after the bleaching. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, okay, so you're right. So the wool doesn't necessarily have to be white, right? So then he writes, "The name is Sparo." Just skipping a line or two. "The name is Sparo Shobad Shesh." He has said before that the gematria associated with bad is also of significance. Bad, the gematria is 6, right? Base is 2, dalet is 4. Even if you're not so into gematria as this one, you know, you could probably do in your head, right? So the number of bad is 6. V'chein nikra habad b'loshen shesh. And the truth is, interestingly enough, you look elsewhere in Chumash, where it talks about, you know, the begadim of the Kohanim, and it talks about one of the ingredients of the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, let's say with the choshen u'me'il, right, the choshen, the ephod, and the like, it talks about shesh. Well, si sakasonas shesh, right? What's shesh? Shesh is linen. So isn't that interesting, right? Bad is linen, sheish is linen, and sheish is what the gematria of bad is, right? 6 is the gematria of bad, right? Remez lekav ha'emtsoi hanirmez bevav shebeshem shakoin dugmosa. Now, of course, the letter which represents 6 is a vav, right? The vav is one of the osios in the Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and these linen garments hint at the Vav, which is in the Shem Havaya. Right? We'll talk about what that might mean in just a moment. Uklar Yodata Shahakruvim Lifnai V'Lifnim Nirmozim Heim Behei Vav. You should know that, as you know, he says, I guess as we all know, the Kruvim that are Lifnai V'Lifnim, the Kruvim that are in the Kodesh HaKodashim, are hinted at the with the letters of the Shem, Hey and Vav. V'nei Ahei b'chlal ha-Vav. Hey is included in Vav, because after all, Hey is 5. Vav is 6. V'zeu loshen bad, shebo nichnos lefnai v'lefnim, shemisparo shesh. So that's why it makes sense for him to go lefnai v'lefnim, right? It makes sense for him to go into the place where the Kruvim are, wearing the big day lavan, wearing the begadim that are made out of linen, because the begadim made out of linen are associated with the number 6, which is the Vav. The Kruvim are associated with the letter Vav of the Shem Havaya. So it makes sense that he should be wearing the Big Day Shesh, the Big Day Lavan, the Big Day Bad, the Big Day Vav, when going into the Kodesh HaKodashim, which in which the Kruvim are to be found with the idea of Vav. Okay, so you'll ask me, okay, that's very nice. So we connected the dots all over here. What exactly is the meaning of the letter Vav, right? And okay, so everything comes back to the 6 and to the Vav and to all of that. What on earth does the Vav mean? So here's a very amateurish attempt to try to put all of this together. Again, if you don't like it, your money back at the end of the shiur. We know Chazal tell us that the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manifest in this world is with the first two osios of the Shem Havaya, Yud and Ke, right? Ki Beka Hashem Sura Olamim, right? God created this world with the Yud and the He, the first two osios of the Shem Hashem. The last two osios of the Shem Hashem, the Vav and the He, are not really going to be manifest, Rashi tells us at the end of Parshas B'Shalach, until Moshiach comes, Amalek is eradicated, and we're able to appreciate the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Meaning, the Vav and He of the Shem represent the time when God's presence is manifest in a way in which it's not manifest now. Right now, we only appreciate the first two osios of the Shem Hashem, Yud and Ke, right? The Vav and the He are going to be manifest at some future point when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory is fully revealed for the world. The Kohen Gadol gets a little glimpse of that future time when God's glory is revealed when he goes into the Kodesh HaKodashim on Yom HaKippur. Right there, even in this world, he can appreciate, he can see the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifest. For a short period of time, he's experiencing the Vav and the He element of the Shem Hashem, God's presence manifest in all of its glory. Right? Well, he's able to feel the presence of the Shekhinah. He doesn't see, but again, whatever it means, again, I guess you'd have to be there to really understand what it means, but he can appreciate, he can feel the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way in which would not be able to do so normally. The Kruvim represent the pinnacle of his being able to experience that, because after all, the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes Mibein HaKruvim. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu was communicated to Mibein HaKruvim, between the two Kruvim. Taking it one step further, the Vav in Hebrew we know is an Os HaChibur. It's a letter that implies connection, right? It's the end of the Hebrew language. So the Vav represents that ability for people to have a chibur, to have a connection, a close connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That ability is challenged in this world. I mean, obviously one can have a degree of connection, but not to the ultimate extent at which we're going to be able to have when Moshiach comes and the Shem is going to be Shalem. The Vav, the element of chibur, of connection, is going to be manifest. So again, the Kohen Gadol is able to have a degree of that connection, that sublime connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a bechina of the Yemos HaMoshiach, he's able to have that when he goes Lefnai V'Lefnim, when he goes into the Kodesh HaKodashim, and those begodim which represent that chibur, that connection, and that incredible manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are the begodim that are tied to the letter Vav, that os of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, that os of chibur, these big day sheish, these begodim that are tied up with that particular number. Again, all of that is represented by the Kohen Gadol Badavka wearing these begodim. The number six is also significant for the following reason. In an earlier piece back in Parshas Truma, the Rabbi Bechai said something similar. Man is divided three ways. There's the head, there's the midsection, and the bottom part of his body. And the way Rabbeinu Bechai sees it, the head is the most sublime, the middle section is kind of in the middle, and the bottom section is down in the bottom. That's the part of the body from which a person excretes. That's the lowliest part of the body, both spatially as well as conceptually. But man is divided into three parts.
And umize yesh lo koach lahamshich habrachu lashpi akoach elyon betachtonim af ki akoin agadom yuchad avodas hamikdash. Man is divided into three parts. The world is also divided into three parts. That's the idea that he said back in Parshas Truma, that the Mishkan, he said, is divided into three parts to correspond to the three parts of the universe. Right? This world, the world of space, and the world of the Malachim, put the three parts of man together with the three parts of the universe, and you get six. The Kohen Gadol has the ability, by going Lifnai V'Lifnim on Yom Kippur, to have an influence, to bring down bracha on the three parts of the human being, as well as the three parts of existence. The six of the Kohen Gadol describes his ability to create bracha for an incredible environment that includes man and includes the universe at large. So this bad, you know, the beis and the dalet, the six, is so incredibly important. The gematria is the key to being able to hint at what the Kohen Gadol is able to accomplish on Yom Kippur. Halavai, understanding a little bit of what the Kohen Gadol is able to accomplish on Yom Kippur, we should be zocheh, as Willie pointed out so beautifully before, to be able to accomplish some of that on Pesach, to recognize that much of the Kedusha, which can come about through Yom Kippur, can come about through a Seder and through a Pesach, which is conducted in the proper way as well. Okay.